God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is coming from Acts chapter 2, particularly verse 42, where Peter, in preaching his sermon, tells us that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This is our text. It's interesting, after first hearing the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what was their response? The response was, "This was great news. How can I get more of it?" Indeed, when we have good news, we can't get enough of it. When we have bad news, we're trying to avoid it. No one delights themselves in saying, "Let's get some more bad news." Well, with that in mind, let me use this as an introduction. How often do you cherish God's word with that good news? So when you think about coming here and gathering to hear God's word, to hear that message proclaimed, to receive Christ himself in that body and blood with that bread and wine, do you get all excited? Do you get excited like you just got great tickets to a fantastic game? Do you get excited like this is a fantastic deal? Or do you sit there and say, "I guess it's time for church"? Do we get that excited after church and thinking, "Hey, now I have an opportunity to read God's word on my own. Now I have an opportunity to pray for people. I can't get enough of this"? No, very often our sinful side kicks in and says, "Let's be careful now. I've done my church thing. I don't want to be considered a religious zealot now, do I?" In today's society, being a religious zealot is almost considered a bad thing. But notice what happened to the people during the time of the early Christian church. After Peter proclaims who Jesus is, they devoted themselves. That devotion basically meaning they can't get enough of it. To the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and to prayer. How about you? Let me sidetrack for a little bit. How often do you eat? Typically, most of us as Americans here in the United States of America eat about 3 meals a day, give or take a meal. And then sometimes, for some of us, there are such things as snacks. How much time do we spend in eating? I guess I tried to do some work on the statistics. Anywhere between like 1 hour to 3 hours a day seems to be about right. Let me compare and contrast that to how often you exercise. Here we have a much wider variety. Anywhere between 0 to 2 hours a day. Why the difference? Well, it seems like everyone eats, but not everyone exercises. The reason behind this is eating is considered a necessity. We need to keep this body going, whereas exercise is considered optional. However, your doctor may not think that exercise is optional, but may consider some of the foods that you eat as optional instead of necessary. Obviously, there's a little bit of a difference between what one considers as optional and what one considers as necessary. The label here is very, very subjective. Now let's talk about our spiritual feeding. Whereas very often we are pretty much in conclusion that physical feeding is necessary, what about the spiritual feeding? Too often in our lives, we may gather for the 1 hour a week. You are here, aren't you? Very good. But then what do you do with your Christian faith afterwards? Do you just tuck it away and just bring it out once time a week? Or is it alive and active? Do you find yourself regularly in prayer and not just thanking God for the meal that's before you, but in prayer and communicating with God? Or are you afraid of some answer back from God? Do you take the extra time to open up your Bible to read it? or to listen to it, since there are audio versions of the Bible? Do you take that extra time to find yourself in Bible study? Do you take that time to share your faith with those around you? Again, we may take a step back. Our sinful nature may win the day and say, wait a minute, I don't want to spend too much time feeding my soul here. Remember, our sinful nature is in battle with our spiritual nature that comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that battle is strong. Whereas our sinful nature would say, back up for a moment. Let's not become a religious zealot here. We have enough to be saved, do we not? How far do we want to take this Christianity thing? People might start thinking that we actually believe it if we started doing all these things. Yes, our sinful nature gets a little defensive. It wants to fit in with the world around us. Concepts of being devoted on an ongoing basis, continually, creates problems for our sinful nature. It would rather be part of the world instead of part of God. So what are you going to feed yourself with? The things of the spiritual world? Strengthening the spirit within you? So that you in turn can share that love to those around you? Or to your sinful side that sits there and says, I'd rather not be a religious zealot. Now, I will admit I sometimes fall into this category. And let me just pick on myself for a moment. Growing up on the north side of Chicago, I happened to be a Cubs fan. Yes, I will admit it. I sort of follow and track to see how they're winning, how they're losing, reading certain articles about them. But he asked me to go to a game, and the answer is probably not. It's just a little too expensive. And yes, I like the Cubs, but not that much. I have other priorities in life. Even if they win the World Series this year, because it's been 100 years since the last time they got there and won one, yes, I probably, again, it's not a high priority. I might watch it on TV, maybe, a game or two. I definitely read up on it. And do I still consider myself a Cub fan? Well, by my standards, yes. But by any real good diehard Cub fan, the answer is no. I'd be excommunicated immediately. What do you mean not going to a game or two or three a year? Come on, let's get realistic. Or at least at the bare minimum, watching it on TV. What kind of Cub fan am I? I'm one who lives out in the suburbs, can't afford to go to games, and if the Cubs lose another year and don't make it to the World Series, I won't be crying either. Yes, some people would consider that I'm starving as a Cubs fan. Most Cubs fans are. We need that World Series this year, but enough of that. Getting back to our text, how are you doing in relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the Bible, basically the authority of life. But will your sinful nature realize that there is an authority above itself? That's the key. Our sinful nature wants to sit there and say, no, wait a minute, I'm in charge of things. And you can even see it amongst other Christian preachers and other theologians. They start tearing apart the Bible and saying, I can't rationalize this. Let's just sort of pull the page and yank it out. I'm surprised at how many times I've run across people who actually look at me and they kind of laugh and they say, you're from the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. I'm going, yes. You actually believe the Bible? I'm going, yes. And they're like, you actually believe there was someone like Adam and Eve and that Jonah was actually swallowed by a large whale? And I correct them in saying it was a large fish. And they laugh at me. And yes, I've had people, clergy, laugh at me for these beliefs. Yes. So when we talk about being devoted to the apostles' teaching, that means believing God's word for what it says. Not just picking and choosing the parts that you want to listen to versus the parts that you don't want to listen to. The second part of that, they were devoted to the fellowship, the breaking of bread here. You have to connect those two. Some of your Bibles may actually have a comma in there, but going back to the Greek, that is actually one phrase. So what are the early disciples trying to teach us here? that when we gather together in the Lord's Supper, there is a fellowship. We have to realize that Christ is in our midst. And that, what does Christ do? Christ, as He is in His table fellowship while He was here on earth, welcomed sinners, i.e. you and me. They devoted themselves to celebrating the Lord's Supper, to having that fellowship together. They realized they were sinners and they needed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as He comes to us in bread and wine. There's nothing wrong about this, unless, of course, you don't consider yourself a sinner. Then you may have a problem with this. They devoted themselves to prayer. Now, I will admit, there are many people who pray. But do they pray to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? That is what the apostles' teaching is reminding us. This is a threefold emphasis in saying the early Christians were devoted to Christ and Him crucified. They were praying to God, not just for themselves, but to other people. Now, if you start unpacking all this, being devoted to the apostles' teaching, reading it, studying it, devoting themselves to the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, the divine service, gathering more than just one day a week. They would actually gather each and every day. They devoted themselves to prayers. Somehow, if you start doing the math, it's more than 1 or 2 hours a week. Yes, times have changed. And we are the ones, it seems, that are spiritually starving. But sometimes our sinful nature might try to get the best of us and saying, you know, Pastor, I don't seem to get much out of reading God's Word, attending Bible study, and to prayer. And maybe the reason why we don't get much out of it because you are not trusting in God's promises by putting the time into it. And see, that's one of the differences. You see, the early Christians, when they heard what Peter was saying to them on that day of Pentecost, when they heard that message of Christ and Him crucified, they're like, this is great news. We want to get more of it. But now that we've grown up in the church, what is our reaction? Pastor, I can't wait for those doors to open for the divine service. Come on. Or do we come in anytime we want to? We'll just look around. You see the pews. They're not all full, are they? Plus, you also have to remember, if you're in this category, well, I don't get much out of it, you have to realize it's not just about you. You see, too often we start thinking of it as a personal faith. Well, fair enough, I cannot believe for you. Let me just get that out of the way here before you start thinking that I can believe for you or that parents can believe for their children. But now let me put it this way. Our faith is a corporate faith. What am I referring to as this? You see, we have to realize it's not just about you, it's also about everyone else. If it was about you, here's my connection to Good Shepherd Sunday. I'll pick on CPH for a moment. Yes, this was the lost lamb on the cover of our bulletin that our Lord and Savior goes out to. I'm trying to justify CPH's bulletin. But don't consider this as the norm. What am I trying to get to? When Jesus talks about Himself being shepherd and that you being the sheep, don't consider that you are a flock of one. I like our stained glass picture much better. There are more than one sheep there. That's the idea. But too often our sinful nature wants to sit there and say, no, we're just one. I only have to worry about me. No, Jesus did at one time when He had a lost sheep. Yes, He used the example about the shepherd going out for the one lost sheep and was rejoicing and glad. But the one lost sheep does not make the flock. There is a whole flock behind the one lost sheep. What am I getting at? Don't sit there and take your faith and go home with it and saying, I'm justified. I'm saved by God's grace. I'm content with that. Too many I's in that statement. You are part of the body of Christ, part of the flock. There's more to this Jesus Christ thing than just you. God works through you to other people. Yes, God commands that we come and we gather. God commands that we receive this benefit. And then what do we do with this benefit, this gospel message, this message of salvation? We do not keep it to ourselves, but others benefit through us. Let me give you an example. From what we're experiencing today, our health community is telling us that the impact of people smoking and obesity in our society has its effects beyond the individual person, but the whole society suffers for it, for we live in a community. Likewise, our spiritual health has similar relations. We live in community of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, we are saved by God's grace through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we are a community of believers. Who needs us here at Trinity? The people at Trinity do. Who needs us part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? The rest of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod people do. Who needs us part of the body of Christ? The rest of the body of Christ does. And it's more than just the body of Christ. Our spiritual life in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ also affects the community in which we live, which we work, and the school in which we learn. There is more to just attending worship services once in a while. But we have to realize that others depend upon us. Not that I'm asking you to go and preach sermons to them, but let me explain it this way. The more you are deeply connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His life-giving Word, the more it has impact upon you. It changes you. Whether you want to admit it or not, it does. And other people will see that change within you. And they will rejoice with that change. Not that I'm going to expect you to be the most popular person in the whole world because you are a Christian. No. But other people will start gravitating toward you. Because we live in a world that is longing for a sense of spirituality. We're living in a world that is trying to touch its creator. We live in a world that's trying to make sense of who this God is. And while the world is trying to grasp at things, you have been filled because Christ comes for you. God fills you. So that in one essence, people around you realize you're different. Realize that part of God is working through you to them. You see, our Christian faith does not end with you, but continues through you to others. Why were they devoted? To the proclamation of God's Word, to the administration of the sacrament, and to prayers? It's because that is where God Himself promises to be. Where else would you want to be devoted? So we live in a world who is trying to reach out and touch its creator, grasping at spiritual things that are empty. And here we are, being filled and fed by Christ Himself, our creator, redeemer, and sanctifier. And yet, our sinful nature wants to consider this optional. We need to put down our sinful nature. And Christ will help you do that. Through His Word, through His own body and blood, He has overcome sin, death, and the devil upon the cross. You remember the Good Friday event, Christ being crucified. You remember the Easter event, Christ being raised from the dead. This again is for you and for other people. Let us not feed our sinful nature with the things of this world, but feed the Spirit with the things that are of God. God feeds it. And that's why we come together to hear God's Word. That is why we come and we gather to receive Christ Himself with His bread and wine. And this is why we pray for others. We can impact others. Not just here in church and saying, let's just bring the church that the pastor can proclaim God's Word, but we impact others. not just in our Lutheran schools, which is a great place to start, where Lutheran teachers are teaching and proclaiming God's Word to these little ones, but also daily in our lives. We thank God for this wonderful opportunity. We do not consider it optional. We don't consider it a burden. We consider it strength for our soul. Where else would we be but devoted to the things of the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and to prayers? It's not about us. It's about getting God's word of love and forgiveness to us, to other people, so that God's will be done. Who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, not just you. So the next time it seems like our sinful nature is trying to sidetrack us away from Christ and Him crucified, let's remember what the early Christians did. They devoted themselves to church, to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Not something done 1 or 2 hours a week, but something done every day for the strengthening of their faith. And as the Acts of the Apostles note, their numbers grew. Other people saw how through them God has worked, and they were attracted to this. So we ask the Lord to continue to bless us, to forgive us our many sins when we have fallen short of His glory and we pushed Him out of our lives, and to strengthen us so that we too may overflow with His love and His forgiveness to those around us. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.